So I am just on the BJJ Fanatics website, and what's amazing is now we've already talked about Gravity is Your Friend, but there are two other instructionals that you might want to talk about.
Recently, I had the opportunity to work with BJJ Fanatics guy, and now we have three instructionals out there. We have Escapes Engineered for guys over 40. If you're 40 or more, hey, dig into it. Gravity is Your Friend, Sit Up Sweeps, been there for some time and is really, really getting a lot of attention. And then we have the Smash the Knee Folding Pass. Now, that's one of my favorites. So if you haven't looked at them, take a look. BJJFanatics.com.
Welcome to Raw Radio.
We are live. Sometimes we get these great conversations. Everything is flowing smoothly. Sometimes they are unexpected. You know, we didn't think it would go in the direction it was. And something, there have been a handful of them. When we finish recording, and I have a hard time wrapping my mind about the whole, around the whole conversation. You know what I mean? Like, it is not the the amount of information, but how deep the information goes. Yeah. And like, this is the case right now. Like, before we start going live on this takeaway, like, we've mentioned a couple things here that this is, you know, like this was the most, and I feel like it is so much or so deep that it goes about education that I have a hard time putting my thoughts together now. What's your takeaway from conversation with Liam?
I think it's not about what you do, but how you do it.
Yeah.
And it's not about you. It's about your students. Mm-hmm. That carries, I think that he can probably carry those things over to every aspect of his life, whether it's jiu-jitsu related or not. A couple great stories about how he teaches. He's a math teacher. And how he teaches and how he lets his students develop on their own. He gives them a path and gives them options. And they're able to, I think, do things on their own, which then inspires them to seek out more. And I think that that's amazing because, I joked a couple times during the episode once that I wish he was my math teacher growing up, because of the way he taught. And, also that I came from,
Tell the story about your teacher, like without names or anything.
Yeah.
Because I think it was first, impact.
Yeah. Yeah. Grammar school, elementary school, whatever you want to call it, first through eighth grade in the city of Chicago. And I loved school. I loved it. I loved going. I loved learning. I was the kid I loved doing my homework. I enjoyed every aspect of it. Why? Probably because I had some really great teachers. And then one year, still in elementary school, I had a not so great teacher, somebody that wrote down what we were supposed to read on one side of the board, wrote down some questions to answer or answer these questions in your notebook on the other side of the board, and that was it. That was the extent of the day. He did a lot of feet up on his desk. There was no engagement. The class was not organized, talking, sleeping during class. Mm-hmm. Really just not a, I don't think what anybody would consider a good teacher. And the year after that, yeah, there were so many kids in the school that my grade got split in half.
Okay.
And half of us went back to that teacher.
Yeah.
And I was one of them. And within a week, I was not in that school anymore. I went to a different school after that because my mom had just spent a year of me talking about this. I don't know if she took any steps during that year. But I remember her saying, asking those questions of why don't you like it? Why aren't you doing better? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? And she wasn't, you know, back then people weren't quite as involved, I don't think. And she was always working, things like that.
You mean parents?
Or yeah, parents. You know, this is what your teacher said to do. Do it.
Yeah.
Very much more regimented back then.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we've gone too far these days, but in the opposite direction. But anyway, she pulled me out of that school when it was obvious that they weren't listening to her concerns about me being put back in that other class that I had just been pulled out of.
Yeah.
And I think that, so what had happened up until that point, I probably had some very good instructors, teachers. And then at that point I had a bad one. And we've talked multiple times about like how the negative aspects or negative things that happen have a bigger impact than the positive ones. Mm-hmm. And I really think that that year and then that experience, the first couple of weeks of the next year, probably, impacted me, you know, immensely, much more than the teachers that were good or that I thought were good before that.
Yeah.
So when I hear somebody like Liam talk about how he shows kids a certain, he shows them, he gives them options.
Mm-hmm.
And based on where they're at, they have options to solve problems and then pick harder ones. They have options where if they shot too high, then they can go back.
Step down, yeah.
Step down, yeah. And in both instances, I think it gives a student the opportunity to learn not only what they're being presented, but also learn about themselves and what is and how they learn and what their level is without being told this is your level. I think a lot of times we tell kids, you know, we have all these standardized tests. You know, we tell kids that, you know, we tell a fourth grader that they're reading at a 12th grade level. And then when something becomes difficult for them, well, why? I read at a 12th grade level. We also tell another kid in that same class that, you know, you read at a second grade level, which is below where you're supposed to be. Well, am I stupid now? Is that, you know, what, how do they, we, and I think we try and use these as guides, and maybe the kids should never know, but they know, they're told. And I feel that it should be less regimented and kids should be able to, seek, you know, they need to be pushed, but they should be able to seek their level without being told, specifically what their level is.
We definitely do things differently here in US than it's done.
Liam's in the UK. He's in the UK.
So we are talking about different, you know, educational environments, different educational systems, and even culturally how education is involved. It's different too. I mean, it is mind blowing to me the impact. And I guess I never realized this. I shouldn't say never realized this, but I guess it got magnified today during this conversation and even listening to you two right now, how much impact we have as instructors on our students, intentionally or unintentionally.
Mm-hmm.
Just being in that function, how much impact we have in regards to shaping their future, regardless of the age. I mean, obviously, if we're dealing with kids, you mean there's fundamentally we pivoting their lives in a certain direction. We're shaping their thoughts. We are developing the way how they process information and learn and so on. But even adults, I mean, I think by teaching jujitsu and being educators, and I think every instructor is an educator, to the very specific niche topic, but they are an educator. We are impacting even adults, how they think. I mean, think about how many times we have somebody starting jujitsu, like, and the stories we can tell you and I, you know, where after 6 months or a year, they're a completely different person. They changed, you know, the way how they think, who they are, their confidence and so on. So we have tremendous impact. And as you were telling your story about, your teacher, here's one that came in my mind. I don't remember how old I was, but I remember it was my physics teacher. So I had to be early teens. And I remember this is back in Poland. So the school's physics is in elementary school, goes way back early. Yeah, I know. I don't ask me why. Okay. But it is. But she was, and I don't know exactly, but she had a couple PhDs and masters. She was really like educated lady, you know, and she's teaching physics to this, to these bunch of knuckleheads who have nothing, don't want to have anything to do with physics. Mm-hmm. And I remember before school started, before the year started, everybody is like just fearful of her. Like like she is the teacher. You know what I mean? Like you don't want to be in her class. And I remember finding out she's my teacher, and I was like, oh my God, there it goes. This is going to suck. And I remember first class, we are sitting in there, and she goes, by end of this year, I guarantee you nobody will ever cheat in my class. And everybody, like, you know, we're a bunch of boys, and we're like, yeah, whatever, you know, whatever system you got, we can, you know, outsmart you and all that, right? And then she goes, and like, hold on, this is a long story, so I'm going to kind of chop this down to the context. But essentially what she did, she goes like, listen, every week there's a quiz. Every week. On Friday, there's a quiz. On Wednesday, I'm going to give you questions to that quiz. You're literally going to know what is on that quiz. Mm-hmm. On Thursday, I'm going to give you answers to those questions. So really, all you have to do is memorize, come on Friday, take a quiz, and you're good. And everybody's like, well, that's stupid. But maximum you can get is D. Now listen, hear me out. If you answer the questions that I gave you with the answer I gave you, the max is you're going to get a D. If you want C, there will be one more question, same one, but the variables will be different. So now you have to think on your own. Okay. If you want B, now it's going to be a different question with different variables. Now you really have to understand what's happening. Okay. If you want A, now it's not going to be, I never taught this in a class. It's in a book, but I never taught it in a class. I never mentioned that. So you really now have to self-study. If you want A+, it's not in a book, and I never studied it, and I never taught it. You got to go above and beyond. So well, here's the interesting thing that after, first of all, first quiz, guys are cheating, you know, boom. And so here's a caveat to all of this. I'm going to wrap this up. If she caught you cheating, you got an F for the test plus F for every question that was on the quiz. So you end up with like 5 Fs, you know? In order for you to make up...
crush your average.
Listen, in order for you to make up the Fs, you had to come in individually. So you couldn't make up multiple Fs at the same class. So you had to come in 5 times after class and make it up. Okay? So, you know, for like first quiz or first week or whatever, you know, like there's cheat code. Catches a bunch of guys, boom, boom, they're all these Fs and everything, blah, blah, blah. And then you see them like coming after, you know, after class with their, you know, frown face and their feet are dragging behind them, trying to make it up, blah, 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 blah. But here's what happened after several months or, you know, whatever semester into this is that one, nobody cheated. Two, everybody wanted to read books with physics. So an average in a class by end of the year, and I don't remember specifics, but it was somewhere B level. Mm-hmm. Like everybody wanted to do it. And she didn't do anything besides put these ridiculous rules in place. Yeah. And like there was not one D in that class, nice. Which is the minimum required that she gave you. Everyone went above and beyond. And it was mind blowing. And honestly, I didn't see the result of it or the impact that she's made until like years later. Yeah. Like that is, and I don't know, that's probably, you know, I don't know how ridiculous this all sound to all of you guys, but like it was mind blowing when I think about it, you know, in a retrospect. But anyway, putting my story aside is I think we have tremendous impact on our students. And I think Liam said something that I made a point to write down, is not what you teach, but what they learn. Mm-hmm. That was a huge pivot point in my mind.
Yeah. I think what I love about that too is I think it makes the teacher realize that it's not about them.
Not about them.
It's about your students.
Yeah.
It your So here's something interesting. He talked about if he walked into work tomorrow and they said there's no more math courses for you to teach, he would say, okay, give me something else. Mm-hmm. I can be an English teacher. Mm-hmm. I can be, you know, I can teach anything. Mm-hmm. And that's not because he's full of himself and he thinks he's so smart. It's because he can structure something to present it to this class, mm-hmm. right? Whether he is, that's his specific field or not. And I think that that's really important, is that you realize that what they walk away from is more important than you and what you do. It sounds a little contradictory there, but I think
this is more visible in the jiu-jitsu, scenario, right? Because we find ourselves going into academies where the instructors, this is the move, this is blah, blah, blah. You know, you got to do it this way, this way, this way, this way, this way. But with that mental state, it really hyper-focuses all the attention on the instructor. This is the guy. This is the thing that he does. Versus really looking at it from the other perspective, is like, how much are your students benefiting from what you do? And it's not about you. It's about them. It doesn't matter who you are.
Right. It's about them. It's about the subject. Mm-hmm. It's about learning that subject. I remember once early on taking a class from a different instructor. Excuse me, and saying, you know, Thomas taught it this way on Tuesday. Am I missing something? And then instructor said, no, that's great if you want to do it that way, but this is just a little different, and this is the way I do it. Neither one is right, or I'm sorry, neither one is wrong. And it kind of opened my eyes to seeing that this is about what we do, what you do here is about it's about jiu-jitsu. It's not about I'm a black belt and you have to learn what I know. It's about jiu-jitsu, you know?
And this is why I think often we underestimate the power of learning from our peers. You know, like I think instructors are important and they provide the guidance, but instructor's job is is to show you the way, show you the path, you know, and, you know, sometimes, you know, kind of direct you, help you. On the path, but it's your job to, you know, dust off the leaves, remove the boulders, you know, go around them and troubleshoot and continue going. It is your journey. It is your journey. And it's your job. I think longer you do it, more responsibility you have, which was another mind blowing point of Liam talking to him, is where at the beginning is instructor's job to show the way in a way. But at some point that function of responsibility shifts onto the student, mm-hmm. where he has or she or he has the responsibility to take on the knowledge, to seek the knowledge, do the research, self-troubleshoot, and continue be hungry for the knowledge of jiu-jitsu or whichever other topic you explore.
Yep. All right.
That's it?
That's it. 18 okay. minutes.
Nice. Hey, get his book.
Oh, yeah.
Get his book.
What is it? What do great instructors
do? Outstanding instructors do. Yeah, it's on Amazon. Worth the read.
Yep.
Go get it.
All right.
Later.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Raw Radio. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review and help us make the show even more amazing. For future episodes, check out our website and follow us on all major podcast platforms. Take care.